Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Charney. This is episode 3, and today we're going to talk about an update to the new iPhone, along with a possible new Google phone. The latest and greatest rumor when it comes to the iPhone 7, if that's going to be called, is allegedly Apple's going to be using an OLED display instead of what they're using. OLED is an organic light emitting diode, and the best thing about them is they use less power, and it'll allow them to use an edge-to-edge display, probably closer to like the S7 Edge or the Galaxy product, except without the curved screen at the end. Now, this will be better because using the Apple Watch actually drains power because you have to keep the Bluetooth on. And the other rumor is going to be interesting is there's going to be three models. There's going to be the iPhone 7, iPhone 7 Plus, and an iPhone 7 Pro. They'll have dual cameras, but only a selective models. There'll be no headphone jack. And the no headphone jack is the thing that has me worried the most. One of the reasons being is because I use the headphone jack a lot. Pretty much what I do, I've got computer speakers by my bed. I plug it in at night, hit play, and just listen to music or old-time radio or even like one of my favorite podcasts. Like, I don't know, like the MMA podcast, for example, or on Golden State Media's, or the movie, the entertainment podcast is something that's actually pretty fun. You might want to take a listen to it. So without the headphone 7, without the headphones in the 7, I don't know if I'm going to buy it. I'll see. There's allegedly going to be an adapter you plug in, plugs in a lightning bolt connector. I'm assuming it's going to be just like the one they have for using HDMI. The HDMI port on one side, and then you have a power connector on the other so you can plug in the lightning bolt. The other one is it's going to have the new smart connector on the back of the phone on the 7 Plus Pro. On the 7 Pro. I don't know. I don't really know a whole lot about the smart connector. I'm assuming that allows you to hot connect or hot swap different components or accessories. That part's actually pretty cool. I don't know how useful it is because I don't have an iPad 7 Pro. I don't have an iPad Pro, excuse me. What do you guys think? I mean, do you guys like the idea of having no headphone jack? Are you worried about like a new display or new glass? What do you think? I mean, what would be your perfect iPhone? I mean, I really like my 6 Plus, so I don't know if I'm going to upgrade right away. I'm definitely going to wait to see what happens. If I do get it, I probably will get the 7 Pro, depending on how much it costs. I've always been, you know, that's always been kind of my thing, is I want to get one that has all the features, has better stuff. So we'll definitely see. There's not a whole lot of information I found about the 7 Pro. I'm not quite sure what it does yet, so I can't guarantee I'm actually going to get it. But it should definitely be interesting. The other one that's going to be interesting is Google's Project Aria, I think that's how you say it. Now, the reason why this is interesting is this has been rumored for quite a while. And what it really is it's a modular cell phone. So everything I've read talks about, say, if you wanted a different camera, you'd pop open the back, swap out a camera module, put a new one in. Say if you want a better screen, just get a new screen, pop it on. And in theory, that would allow a phone that'll be continuously upgradable. Now, the question is, would be what would be the core? My guess, the core of the phone would maybe be the processor, would definitely be the thing that has the IMEI number and the SIM card in it. There's not a lot of information like regarding how technically it would work. Google was showing the prototype at I/O 7 last year, saying it would come out in 2017. I don't know. I mean, it definitely would be interesting to see how well this actually works. I don't know if it's going to be something they're going to do. I don't know. What do you think? Would you like a cell phone that's upgradable? I mean, I love the idea of being able to hot swap camera modules and doing stuff like that. Not sure if you would do it. I mean, I don't know. I can totally see, you know, if you have a kid and you buy the kid the cell phone, or even me, matter of fact, I take it apart. I can totally see losing modules for this thing. So that better come with some sort of like module case. I don't know. It looks interesting enough because I love the idea of adding different features. The best thing about this is it possible you could add a new processor. So you can go from like a 1.2 quad core processor, say, to a 1.5, or different screen technologies. Instead of go from a smaller screen to a bigger screen. I don't really know how well the technology is going to work in real life. See, in labs and you get like business type of thing, it works. It probably works well. But in real life, when people use it, keep it in their pockets, how well does the stuff work? How well does the thing actually connect? That's going to be the thing I'm wondering the most about. See, the other thing is it's a pretty complicated thing. I mean, versus the iPhone 7, you know, it's probably not that basically complicated, not as complicated as having a module phone system. Well, the iPhone 7 is going to have a better display. I mean, that's obvious. They've been changing the display evolutionary steps-wise in every model. It'll probably have a different A processor. I guarantee it's most likely not going to have a headphone jack, and so they're going to do a little bit more things with the iPhone. This one here, if they do it, is going to be a whole different beast. It's definitely going to be completely different than anything they've ever released, or possibly any cell phone company's ever released. I've never seen anything like that. They've had similar stuff like that for laptops over the years, where on some of the high-end gaming laptops, you could swap out, say, like the video card, you can add RAM, but nothing like this. So I'm a little bit skeptical, but I'm really excited. I really hope it succeeds, because I think it's just an amazing idea. It's definitely going to be for enthusiasts only. I don't see Ma and Pa Kettle getting one, unless they're maybe on the higher end side of being adventurous. I mean, I guess it really depends how easy it really is. And the other question I have for Google, is it going to be using a different flavor of Android? Is this something that the driver is going to be built in, you can just hot swap, or is this something you're going to have to get like an Android modular edition, you know, going towards like Windows style when they have like small business edition 2 type of thing? So I'm not quite sure what I think about it. What do you think? Is this something you'd be interested in getting? Are you interested in getting a modular phone? Or what about the Apple thing? Are you interested in having a bigger screen, a different screen? Do you want an edge-to-edge display? Now, allegedly, at least for the Apple phone, on the iPhone, allegedly it's supposed to be made out of glass, too. So, allegedly, it's going to be all, like an all-glass case. So, I'm assuming the way I've read, it'll be more like the 4 and 4S. Now, the 4 and 4S actually had, the back was glass. One of the reasons why it was actually called the soap phone, because if you weren't careful and you squeezed on that phone too much without a case, it'd fly out of your hand like a bar of soap. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what I think about this. The modular phone is cool. I'm kind of bummed when it comes to the iPhone, getting rid of the headphone jack is something I use a lot. Now, without the headphone jack, what they're probably doing, like I think I talked about this in an earlier episode, what they're probably doing is, again, to sell more devices that have AirPlay. Now, I'm using a Raspberry Pi with a version of a Volumino on it that actually acts as an AirPlay receiver. You can do it with different things. I happen to think it's just, you know, it's the cheapest way to go. It's a $35 little credit card size computer that I've talked about. Instead of buying, I don't know, was it Amazon's latest product that I think you can do it too, and other things. I don't know. I haven't really put my mind on if any of things, whether the iPhone 7, do I want that? Do I want having three different versions? The iPad, you know, the iPhone 7, 7 Plus, and 7 Pro. Now, I'm curious, is the 7 Pro going to be like the 6 Plus? Is it going to be like the Plus model? Or is it going to be like this, you know, the non-Plus model? I'm not sure. What do you think? I know I keep asking you, my audience, but I'm really curious. And what do you think about all of this? Is this something that you really want? Do you want modular phones? I mean, you know, help me out here. What do you think? I know for me personally, I like the Plus. I like the bigger size. You know, was it the Android, the Note 4, Note 3? I like the bigger displays. I've got huge hands, so bigger displays help me. Though the negative side about that, as I've jokingly told people that, you know, the bigger phones like the 7 Plus and the Note 3, they're perfect purse phones almost, because you almost need something else to carry it in, because at this point, we're going to run out of pockets the pocket size to fit it in. I know when I got my 7 Plus, my 6 Plus, I was joking with my wife. It's like, hey, honey, I might have to borrow a purse. I don't know if I have pockets big enough for this phone, which is almost the case, because I'm pretty sure I can't fit the Note 3 or the Note 4 in my pockets. I know somebody who has one, so I'm definitely have to try that out. I don't know. So what do you think? The interesting thing about the Google prototype on the I/O is it's an actual physical prototype. So it's not like, well, sometimes what they do for prototypes, they basically build it out, maybe put some stuff in there, and it doesn't necessarily work. Now, this is actually a working prototype as far as hot swapping modules. I'm curious in how well it works. And it looks like we're coming up to a break, so if you have any questions, comment, make sure you get a hold of us at the Facebook page, and we'll see you after the break.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Faith, welcome back. And in this part of the show, we're going to be talking about video editing tools and solutions. Now, the most interesting thing is Sony is selling their Vegas video editor. And if you don't know a thing about Sony Vegas, it's a $100 video editing software. And this is a software I generally tell people to purchase when they're trying out video editing. And one of the reasons why is Sony Vegas is very forgiving. It's a little bit more complicated, and it doesn't do stuff the way Premiere does or Final Cut. But it's good enough to kind of get your feet wet a little bit on video editing. Generally, Mac comes with a video editor. I don't remember what it's called. That one's actually pretty good for starting. It's probably a little simpler to use than Sony Vegas. But it's interesting. Sony, according to the article, it's Sony's quest to get rid of unnecessary business continues. The electronic giant has sold off the majority of its creative software suite to Magix, a German firm that revolves around pro imaging apps. So I've used Vegas off and on for years. I know when I was first doing video editing, that was the program I used because it really was the simplest program. We're having some features that were more pro-oriented. Basically, what that was for me is I was able to transition from using Sony Vegas to Premiere fairly easily. Now, what I did is to kind of get over the difference, this is a website called lynda.com. It's lynda.com that basically does video tutorials. They have industry insiders actually show you how to use products. And so that's how I went to the Adobe suite was doing that. Now, the Adobe suite, the best thing about that is the Adobe Creative Cloud. It's $50 a month, but you have basically access to the entire master collection. So you have Photoshop, Lightroom, Illustrator, InDesign, Acrobat, Premiere Pro, After Effects, Animate, Dreamweaver, and a bunch of more other products. Now, for me, the two I use the most is I use Photoshop, Premiere, and I'm trying to get into After Effects a little bit more. After Effects is an amazing piece of kit. If you ever get a chance to play with a demo, After Effects works a little bit different than Premiere. Is After Effects, it is a video software. It's more for motion graphics and adding like effects. So what a lot of people do is say if you're doing a scene in a movie where somebody's shooting a gun, what you do is you do the basic editing in Premiere, you bring it over to After Effects, and then you could add like the flame coming out of the gun, where it's the gun part or igniting and the bullet going through. You add some of basically the effects to it. That's a lot of what it is. You can do motion graphics and a lot of amazing stuff. It's one of the major insider programs that they use in the industry. The best thing about Creative Cloud, though, is you always get the latest and greatest version of the Adobe products. The downside is $50 a month is a lot. Now, that does give you two seats, so if you have a desktop and a laptop, it will allow you to do that. I mean, that's the one good thing. So for $50, you're actually paying for something. You're not just getting one seat, you're getting two, which is nice. Now, one of the reasons, for example, I'm switching back to Sony Vegas. One of the reasons I like Sony Vegas, though, it was $100. You could easily, most people could easily afford $100 video editing software that you could keep playing with. And say you could have a friend say, hey, check this out, it's $100, you'll really like it. That's the best thing. Well, $50 a month is a lot of money if you can't swing it. Now, for me, I use it for different things. I use it for... I've helped some clients before, friends of mine who own companies that wanted, say they wanted a quick commercial or they wanted something regarding that. I've done that for them, just kind of throw something together, and they like it. Sony Vegas, where you can do that, I think Premiere is a little bit easier, allows you to tweak it. It just has better controls. That's the best thing about Premiere. Premiere really is an insider program, as Sony Vegas was not. Now, I'm pretty sure there's some professionals who use Sony Vegas, say for quick and dirty cuts or just for their own personal stuff because it's $100, it's cheap. Now, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Magix, I think that's how you say it, that's the company that purchased Sony Vegas. I'm really looking forward to see what they do with it. The last version of Sony Vegas I had some pretty interesting quirks in it. I don't remember what, I just remember being frustrated by a few things. It is a German firm, and it does revolve around pro imaging apps, so it could really fix any of the issues. Maybe they'll focus on making it a better program. Maybe they'll make it a competitor for Premiere. And I think that's good for Adobe because I definitely think Adobe doesn't really have any competition in this space. I know there are people who disagree with me, but I just don't think there's a whole lot of competition. Now, I would love to see competition for Adobe because maybe it would help Adobe just, you know, maybe help, you know, Adobe to get off the laurels a little bit. I also think the $50 is a little much for Creative Cloud. Now, it does give you access to everything, but I wish what they had was a $25 plan for one seat that has everything. Because the way it seems right now is it's $50. You're basically playing, you know, like roughly $25, $20-something for two seats. Cut that in half. I would pay for that. Of course, I'm paying for the $50 one now, so I'm not quite sure if I'm the right audience for that. But so what do you think? What do you do when you're, are you editing video? Do you use Photoshop? Is there a suite, a software that you use you'd like me to check out? I mean, so what is your perfect suite of tools for what you use? Is it Pro Tools? I mean, you know, help me out here. What do you think about Sony Vegas? Have you used it before? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Do you think they need to just do something better about it? I would be interested. Now, according to the article, it isn't clear that if the Magix company happens to, it's not clear if the Magix company is going to make a different version of Vegas Pro. Maybe they're buying it so it'll stay around, or maybe they're going to turn it into an app-based thing and completely get rid of the standard Windows install. It could happen. I don't see that happening. I don't see why somebody would do that, but it could. It's still, I don't know, what do you think? I mean, it was nice for Sony to have a video editing software because they do make pretty decent video cameras. You know, so that was something benefit is you could buy one of their medium to high-end cameras. Hopefully, they would throw in a copy of Vegas for you. So you could just boom, 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 straight down the line instead of having to buy other video editing software. But it's more likely if you're buying a video camera, especially a high-end camera, you're going to do something with it. So what do you think? What do you do with your video editing software? What video editing software do you do? I do know people that edit video in After Effects, not something I would do personally. But there are some definitely better controls in After Effects versus Adobe Premiere. So what do you think? Is it good, bad? I'd love to know. Don't forget, you can also check out our show notes. It'll be on the Facebook page and other places where you can get this podcast. And I'm going to make sure that you guys also check out some of the other shows we do. I'm really digging the entertainment show. So what do you think? So we're going to go on a bit of a break for a bit. So I will see you right after the break.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Now, this is an interesting thing we're going to talk about right now. What it is, it's China's solution to the traffic problem. Now, if anybody don't know about it, China has a lot of people. You get a lot of people, you get a lot of cars. Now, China has pretty good mass transportation, but it still doesn't beat having your own personal car. Having your own conveyance just makes life easier instead of having to take public transportation, especially if you're going, you know, for say, okay, so I live in Northern California. So say if I was going from Sacramento, California to San Francisco. Now, that's a 3-hour drive. Now, public transportation, it's a little bit longer because they have to make stops, and you're limited to where the public transportation goes. I take my car, I can go anywhere in San Francisco. So that's really kind of why I like having my own car. Now, this interesting bus, what it does is it actually straddles the road. So if you take a look at the video, it should be in the show notes. What it is, it's a giant bus that has two pylons on either side. And what it does is that's the driving wheels. And pretty much the way it looks is it basically cars can travel right underneath it. Now, I see some definitely problems with some potential things, like traffic accidents, for example. I can see maybe something getting under the wheels. Now, I don't completely know how the technology works. There hasn't been a lot released from what I've seen and read. Now, the thing is extra wide. It carries up to 1,400 passengers. It's built tall so people for cars and vehicles can go under it. The top speed is 40 miles an hour, which I think that's, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I think that's a pretty good speed for a city bus. I don't know if something like this could actually go any faster. just because it might turn into a giant sail? I mean, so that's the one thing I'm wondering about, is if it, say if this thing goes 60 miles an hour, the way it's designed, it could easily act as a wing and just be picked off straight off the road. So I think 40 miles an hour is pretty good. I also don't know how fast traffic it goes. So in theory, this thing would be going faster than the flow of traffic, definitely during rush hour. I don't know. I would totally, if I was in China, I would give it a try. It's an amazing piece of engineering marvel. So what do you think? I'm a really big fan of just vehicles in general, of that technology, but I'm interested in something like that, though, because this is an interesting solution to a giant traffic problem. And I think this would be something that, because cop could possibly used in places with massive problems, like areas of Los Angeles, maybe areas of New York. I don't generally think New York, because from what I've seen in New York, it's a little tighter and closer together. Los Angeles, I definitely think this could be a solution to some of the issues. I don't know if you could take it on the 5, for example, or the 101, but definitely something that you could use in areas. You know, you're not impeding the flow of traffic with a giant bus or a train. You're just going above traffic without really having, like, you know, like the elevated track, for example. The 40 miles an hour, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if that's a good thing. Is that a bad thing? I don't know if this thing could go any faster because it's pretty aerodynamic. So I'm kind of wondering if it would act as a giant wing and just fly off. What do you think? Is this something you'd be interested in? I want you to take a look at the show notes and click on it and you know, tell me what you think. The good, the bad, the ugly. I'd love to know what you, my audience, thinks about it. I think we're going to switch off to a little bit of a change. TechCrunch is reporting on a robot kit called Zero. Now, Zero is a robotics kit for children. It comes with a few motors and is controlled by a smartphone. Now, the kit comes with 4 wireless motors, enough pieces to build a small car, and it lets you build cars, cardboard robots, articulated animals, and more. Now, what this is one of the initiatives to get kids into programming and technology more, and probably adults like me who thinks this is a neat piece of kit. Now, there's other things you can get for it, like a Create a bundle that receives cardboard layouts with things you can build with Zero. It also comes with more controlling motors, but it's controlled by Wi-Fi, and it looks like, from what I've been reading, it's controlled by your cell phone. So it'd be like that BB-8 toy that came out for the new Star Wars Force Awakens. So what do you think? I mean, personally, I think this is a neat idea. I'd get this for my kids. I kind of want this for me because this looks like something I could use to play around with. Maybe torment a dog, a family friend. I mean, this is one of the very few things that I've been reading about. Lego came out with Mindstorm and other things, and there are a little bit things here and there for kids to kind of get them into programming. I know originally that's what a lot of people were hoping for the Raspberry Pi that I talked about last week. And so this looks like it'd probably be a little easier. From what I saw, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of programming. And if there is programming, I guarantee they did it in a way that kids can actually use it. Because I don't think, at least initially, I don't know if you really want any heavy-duty programming for kids. This is something that I'm definitely interested in. I don't know a whole lot of kids right now that would actually be interested in it. I don't know the actual price of it yet. But I'm curious to see, is this something you would get for your kids? Or is this something you would get for yourself? Well, what do you think? I mean, I'm really into tech. Like I said before, when it comes to technology, I'm not completely civilians, but this is something that I'm really interested in seeing how it works. Now, see, the coolest thing a lot of this technology is just not for kids. I mean, this is definitely built for kids, because if you actually take a look at it, it's totally kid-oriented. But this is something that I think adults, especially if they're into stuff like this, would buy for themselves and make and have fun with. Definitely, if you're one of these guys who like modding things, is a perfect platform to make something. It looks like it's fairly simple to use, and I'm digging it. I'm probably digging this a little bit more than the China's massive bus that we talked about earlier. The China's bus, that giant thing we talked about a little bit ago, now that's a solution to a problem I have. This isn't necessarily a solution, but it is something to help children get into programming. It's trying to help the next generation of kids make it more intuitive for them to do this. Now, I grew up in the 80s and early 90s, and so stuff like this wasn't around. I mean, I think the first computer I ever used, like I said earlier, was an Apple IIe. I mean, that was the first computer, and it wasn't completely user-friendly, but we did get some of the coolest games ever, so You know, mileage may vary for you. What do you think? What to you, if you were going to introduce children to technology, what is your way of doing it? And I'm not talking about handing them your cell phone and having them play Angry Birds or Fruit Ninja. I'm really curious on what you think is a great way to get them into technology. I like this. You know, I think this will work. I definitely want to see if I can find it. If they do release it, I'm definitely interested to see if I can purchase it and play with it. So I am curious, what is your favorite bit of technology? Now, this is a question I'm putting out for everybody. What to you is technology? Is it like cooking? Is it cooking stuff? Is it gun stuff? Is it cars, radio-controlled airplanes? Is it computers? What to you is your favorite bit of technology that you use on a daily basis, or is your favorite toy? Is it like a motorcycle? For example, I have one of those Can-Am Spiders. You know, I always jokingly call it a mutant three-wheeler. Can-Am Spider is a different style motorcycle. I would technically call it technology because it's a different way of doing things. It has two wheels in front, one in back. Technically, it's a little bit stabler, more stable, and along with having some of the more stabilization stuff, which in cars has made them safer. They say the new trikes, for example, are safer because they have not only do they have the limited slip, but they also have the stability control programs and everything built into it. Is that your piece of kit? I want to know, what to you is your favorite piece of technology? I mean, there's so many things to me that are my favorite. Like, for example, my cell phone, I use an iPhone 6 Plus, and it's my favorite daily use of technology that I use all the time. Now, on the other hand, I've got a fairly high-end professional video camera that's also one of my favorite toys, but I don't get to use it all the time because it's not something that's in my life every single day. Now, every time I get to bust it out, I'm as giddy as a schoolgirl because it really is an amazing camera to get to use. So I'm really curious. What to you is awesome, is great? Just let me know. It's going to let you know that you can get a hold. You can make sure you listen to Golden State Media Concepts podcast at gmcspodcasts.com. Just type in Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast. You'll find us. You can also find us on iTunes. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you get a hold of us. Make sure you listen and tell me what you think of today's show. I want to know what your favorite bit of technology is. Now, today we talked about the possible changes to the new iPhone, which would be the iPhone 7 with the OLED display, removing the headphone jack and more. We also talked about Google's new modular cell phone that would allegedly allow you to swap out camera modules and RAM modules and battery modules and possibly screens. That's something you'd want. And today we talked about Sony Vegas and Creative Cloud. What is your video editor of choice? And we also talked about China's new elevated bus that's like a tunnel that with wheels. We also talked about a little bit about a new way to get children interested in technology. And make sure you get back to us. I want to know what you think. How do you think it could be better? What do you like? And I really, truly, and I keep hammering on this, but I want to know what your favorite piece of technology is. What do you use daily in your life that A, either makes it better, or two, you just really enjoy? Now, whether it's a car, cell phone, a watch, a fancy high-tech jacket, let us know, because I want to talk to you about it. I want to be able to look it up and say, hey, Andrew from North Carolina, for example, has this. I want to talk about it on air just to see what you do daily with your technology. I want to thank you listening to this episode of Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, and I'm your host, Jonathan Charney.